This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. David Stevens, who is CEO of the Christian Medical Association. The organization is hailing what it calls even more evidence that there is no more need to destroy embryos in the name of scientific research. They say that other methods through adult stem cells and pluripotent stem cells are proving to be much more effective in treating debilitating conditions in patients. And Dr. Stevens, thank you very much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Greg.
Well, this debate, of course, has been playing out over the last several years, and we've covered here some of the different developments over the years that show progress with adult stem cells, much more so than on the embryonic stem cell line. What's some of the latest evidence that has you so excited?
Well, about 2 years ago, Japanese scientists developed a way to actually take any cell from the human body, a skin cell is what they used, and insert four genes which caused it to act like an embryonic stem cell without destroying an embryo. And this was a huge breakthrough. Nobody thought this could be done. But one of the problems that still remained is you had to use a virus to take those genes into the cell. And scientists and physicians were concerned that sometimes when you use a virus to do that, it can cause leukemia or lymphoma or something like that to start. Well, just last week, scientists at Harvard came up with a totally new method that not only does not use viruses, but also is safer, quicker, more efficient, and also can be used to then to direct that cell, which acts like an embryonic stem cell, to become the type of tissue they want to develop. This is a huge change in the game. In fact, many scientists this week already are scrambling to use this new method instead of what they've been doing.
How soon will we be able to tell just what kind of an impact this is going to have?
Much quicker than we would with embryonic stem cells, because they have so many problems, including the fact they don't match the patient. So even if you did create the right kind of tissue and you gave it to a patient, they would reject it like a kidney transplant or something like that. You'd have to give them drugs to protect them and suppress their immune system. These cells can actually be taken from the patient, developed in the laboratory, and then the tissue given back to the patient. So I think we're going to see an acceleration. And of course, with adult stem cells, we're already seeing huge breakthroughs, everything from treating people after heart attacks with heart failure, growing new jaw bones, helping people with arthritis, and many other issues. In fact, just recently in Italy, they grew a whole new trachea for a patient that had cancer of the trachea, took out her old one and transplanted one made with her own bone marrow stem cells. And she could talk for the first time in a good number of years. So a lot of breakthroughs going on.
So the genius here, of course, is that you're your own donor. So the odds of rejection are obviously non-existent. And there's an endless supply, correct?
They're absolute, an endless supply, and you don't have the moral issue. In fact, you know, if they did have a breakthrough with embryonic stem cells, there would be a third to half the population that'd say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sacrifice a human being to cure my disease. So should the government be funding that type of research that's not good for everybody? Most people in the United States say no. Only 33% of people in a recent survey said they thought the government should be funding embryonic stem cell research. Then you add to the fact that what they're doing is actually legal under the law. And then another fact is we're in a financial crisis. Should we be putting $300 million a year into a technology which is not taking us anywhere when we have better and moral alternatives that we can pursue?
In your statement here, Dr. Stevens, you use some pretty interesting metaphors. One saying that continuing to fund embryonic research is like investing in vinyl record technology in a digital age. You also say here, quote, all the formaldehyde in the world can't preserve the dead and decaying hypothesis that embryonic stem cell research is the holy grail of cures. Two-part a look at the embryonic side here. First of all, number one, explain for our listeners why it's been unsuccessful, you think, in the lab. Aside from all the moral arguments, which, of course, are a very valid part of this debate, why it's been scientifically unsuccessful.
These cells are difficult to obtain. They're difficult to culture. They're difficult to control. They tend to act like cancer cells, and they can form teratomas. A type of cancer that nobody wants to get. I've taken a couple of those type of cancers out of women. They occasionally get them on the ovaries. And if you open them up, they're full of every different type of tissue in the human body. You'll find skin and teeth and hair and everything all growing in this tumor. That's what embryonic stem cells can cause if you even have a few of those cells left in the culture. These cells are difficult to control their differentiation. How do you get them to become the type of tissue that you need? scientists have had a very difficult time dealing with that. They've tried to create an environment where the embryonic stem cell will become muscle or will become liver, and have not been very successful at it. Often they're picking around in the culture trying to find something that looks like what they're wanting. So it's not very purposeful when you get down to actually trying to do a cure for patients. And to get that compatibility, the fact that they won't be rejected, the only way they can do that now is to actually clone the patient. And people are very opposed to human cloning, even to cure disease.
And just because the breakthroughs we've already talked about are pointing science much more in the direction of adult stem cells and what are known as iPS cells, the induced pluripotent stem cells, you point out in your statement that you believe the fight is a long way from over, largely due to the money involved here. Explain what's all at work with that.
Well, if you look and see the scientists that stand up, and even the scientist that did this study in his paper said, we still need to do embryonic stem cell research. He works at Harvard. Now, most people think, well, you know, that's a notable institution, and this is a wonderful scientist, and so we need to believe what he says. What they don't know is that Harvard and University of Wisconsin and Stanford University hold most of the patents on the embryonic stem cell processes. They actually charge $250,000 to get the cell cultures to even begin to do the experiments with, and then they have patents on the processes. So if you're successful, they're going to get royalties. So, I mean, if these people were sitting in a boardroom, we'd say they have a conflict of interest. They need to be excused from the room when we're discussing stem cells, because obviously they are motivated by the money, and that's what's clouding this whole issue. You hear these prominent scientists stand up and say, oh, yes, we still have to do that. That claim rings very hollow in this day and time, and we need to realize that we really can't trust the judgment of the people that are putting the money in the till.
Last few seconds here, Dr. Stevens, and let's finish where we began, and that's with this news out of Harvard. If you can put it into words, just how big of a scientific advancement is this now that these adult stem cells and pluripotent stem cells can be used with patients without having to use a virus?
I would liken this to the discovery of penicillin in the 1930s and how that changed medicine as we knew it. That's the kind of impact this new research is going to have on helping all of us to be healthy and live much longer.
Well, certainly very exciting news, especially for those potentially dealing with some of these very difficult illnesses. Sir, thank you very much for your time today.
Great to be with you.
Dr. David Stevens is CEO of the Christian Medical Association. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.